many people don't know, but perhaps some of you know, or better said, we used to know that music came from a very intellectual, truth-seeking endeavor. Music was a direct result of intellectual and theological activity, because here we have to use the term intellectual in a with the historic caution, no? Now, where does the intellectual activity of music, about music, happens today? It is in academia, this is true. But where does it happen from the quantitative point of view? It happens in the forums, in YouTube, and similar platforms. Now, what do we have in this platforms? We have a very interesting problem that allows us to handle the question why academics or elitists look down on music channels on YouTube. So someone claimed that this happened. I'm going to tell you why. One of the main reasons for this is the total lack of accountability. In academia, you have an environment where when you write and you publish, at least you have this feeling of shame and accountability for what you write. It is true, however, that also in academia sucks. But one thing is true. There is the sense, there is a higher sense of shame and accountability. Okay? Now, one of the main things that destroy the whole accountability thing, the musical discourse on YouTube and also in some forums, is the mislabeling of the hater. So it came to the point where any type of criticism is now mislabeled for hater. So this means basically someone that has to be rejected in the digital social life, because, well, he only hates, no? So any logical objection, any rational question will trigger this mislabeling of hater. As long as the person who is supposed to answer the question or to handle the objection comes in a kind of brain nervous breakdown to handle the problem. Okay? Because many of these people who got popular, they are not built to handle intellectual problems. They were built to handle marketing problems. That's what I suck with. See, even my English does not work. So now you have a situation where any valid question, if it seems like a threat, this will be mislabeled as a for a hater thing. Now, why is this a threat? It is a threat because many of, so in the case of YouTube channels, it is a threat because many of these YouTube channels, they are built as a business. And then your objection, your question, your valid criticism will be understood as a threat to the business, as a criticism of the business, not of the idea. Do you see the problem? And do you see that even with all my effort of getting away from Adorno, our reality brings us back to him sometimes. Still, he was right in some things, so, but not in the main argument. Perhaps this synthesized my view of Adorno. I think he managed to do valid statements, valuable statements, only in the field of art. But with in a bad system. But let's discuss, this is a higher level for later. So the hater is a threat to the business. So when the criticism or the question is felt as a threat, as an intellectual threat, this is also a threat to the business, because this means the whole business lacks of intellectual foundation. This is a very hard thing in philosophy. And also in the academia, this happens. But way less. Because there you have still the expectation of shame and more accountability. Still, there are very interesting commonalities of both when it comes to the flaws. This is also a truth, but for later. But in academia, this is also true. I asked some questions I read in philosophy that really felt like a threat, because it attacked the whole basis of what was being said. I was in a colloquium for phenomenology here at the University of Vienna, where I presented my work about the concept of meaning in the existential in the phenomenology from the existential point of view. From the existential and realistic point of view. So, then other people also shared other ideas, no? And then there was a master, presentation of a master project. And at that time, I was at my, let's say, sharpest in philosophy. Later, I got sick of philosophy, and I decided that composing music is a way, let's say, nobler activity. At that time, I was at the sharpest, and one of the main important things for me was the ability to properly formulate a problem. And the conditions which allow you to say that a problem is really a problem. The conditions that allow you to say that a problem actually exists and it is not only invented. And at that time, I perceived it, I was very critical of the academia because I perceived that many problems were just invented as an excuse to write an academic work. And here you see the connection with the YouTube mindset as well. So how the medium corrupts the content. Okay, how the platform in which you are, so the medium corrupts the content that is communicated in this medium. And I perceived that the article that was being presented, so the project, was not actually a problem. And I believe I could demonstrate this. So you are investigating something that is actually not a problem in philosophy. It's not an issue. And you also don't show why it is an issue. You just assume it is and you go, it is like literature. I didn't say with these words, but I ask it, what makes the problem that you are talking about really a problem that exists? And I'll never forget this because he gave up. So he said, yes, when you mic drop, it was like this. So this is a sign that everything that he built had not exactly a substance. So this is a mistake of the advisor and of the methodology. But at least in academia, it is expected that such confrontations are seen as intellectual confrontations. They are not personal confrontations. They are like chess playing. And this is what is totally absent on YouTube and in forums, Reddit principally, where the free discussions are actually happening. Or are supposed to happen, the free discussions. And most important for me, the exchange of ideas that is organically interconnected with the reality where things actually happen. Not in a distant castle outside where you can build a whole cathedral of knowledge, but it stays there. What interests me is how this cathedral of knowledge connects to the most common person. And this is why I give so much value for mythology and folklore, because here is where these things is supposed to connect. So the mythology is the intermediator of knowledge and wisdom for the common man. It is the medium where everything happens for everyone when it comes to knowledge and wisdom. So this is why I see the importance in this question. So exactly where quantitatively you have more people speaking about music, you have a very important cancer there dominating. Now, it is very interesting to understand the interconnection between academia and the non-academia when it comes to the influence of academia in this behavior. And yes, here you find a lot of things. For decades and decades, the academia is very biased and manufactured narratives that promote this type of behavior, that the rational question will be the rational truth-seeking question will be the question of the hater. We can show this later in more detail. Now, the only question and criticism that is allowed is the criticism that does not search for the truth. This is a very interesting thing. And where does this come from? From Adorno. So the criticism has no factual basis. It has only a relational basis. So it's relative, and this is the relational aspect of his so-called negative dialectics. But in short, everything that we have in these platforms is not disconnected from academia, but in the contrary, it is a direct result of bad academia. I can show this here, but I just say. Now, the mislabeling of criticism as hating is one of the problems. And I am not speaking about the true haters. So, I won't waste time explaining the obvious here. Okay? So, I speak about the mislabeling of rational criticism and rational valid questions. Okay? So, this is one thing. Now, the second thing. YouTube, when it comes to YouTube, and perhaps Reddit, I don't know how Reddit works. YouTube promotes this lack of accountability. How? How does YouTube do this? YouTube puts the sensible comments at the bottom. Many people don't know this. Perhaps more the YouTubers know this. The most sensitive comments, they are at the bottom. Also the offensive comments. Okay. So, this gives you a clue on how to watch YouTube. And this is also how I watch YouTube. So always go to the last comment. There, it's more likely to find the smartest people there. The first comment is always the coolest guy, okay? Do you know that guy who bought the PlayStation first when it came out? The guy who has the football ball first, and the guy who has the bigger home and everyone goes to. Yes. So this is the first pinned popular comment. Sometimes something very thoughtful. But normally it's something interesting. It's an interesting idea or contribution, okay? Maximum. Now, the place where the discussion really happens, the place where the discussion would like to happen, but dies, is at the end. So there you see people trying to think. And it's normally at the end. And you have some valid questions there. So the YouTube logic basically promotes the lack of accountability. And what do we have with this? We have now a false discussion. So you label the criticism as hater, and the YouTube algorithm promotes also this behavior, but by creating a mismatch between the pro and con, and not let just the chaos happen, as in a real discussion. Why it is not ordered by date or time? By the way, why is not written the exact time it was written? Another problem of the criticism mislabeled as hating is another problem is what this causes. So when some objection or some valid question or some upfront criticism is mislabeled as hating, what happens, many channels, they tend to just delete this, yes. And I have source of evidence to show how this happens also in very influential musical channels, where I should ask, so, man, if you have 400 comments, why are you going to delete some comments? So I don't understand much. So this is different than comment someone in my video where there is no comment and then direct criticize my person or does and direct insult. It's a very different thing. So here it is like an offensive criticism. But I am speaking about intellectual criticism. I am speaking about the truth-seeking criticism or the truth-seeking objection that has all the attributes that are the attributes of the people who basically are in the origin of Western music. This is the type of criticism that I am talking about. So it's the truth-seeking objection. This is the true dialectic questioning. This is very different than speaking about the person. So let me give an example. So this channel, The Venus Theory, says that the music of music is noise. I understand what he's speaking about. But wait, after the Second World War, this was the trend to make music with noise. So this is already very old. So the futurism in music is something old. It's not interesting. The futurism in music is almost 100 years old. So Stockhausen died in the 19s, my friend. I was in Brazil. I read the newspaper. So then you might ask, so what do you mean by this? The future of music is noise, okay? Or you might ask, you might bring the contrary. So for example, we have a kind of renaissance in the neoclassic and tonal writing and orchestral writing as well, because of the whole technology of sample music, sample of MIDI orchestral music. This what I also like to explore and I teach. So what do you mean exactly by this? Or to speak like the Jordan Peterson, what do you mean by that? This is very offensive how he speaks. So I hope you I don't speak like him, but anyways. So the truth-seeking criticism, it gets deleted. And it is promoted to be deleted. It is even promoted to be deleted in some situations. I don't want to give names to not open the Pandora box of how it's called intrigues here. But I saw this many times. Listen to the Sound Iron podcast. They do very good interviews. By the way, they are very underrated by the YouTube. So the Sound Iron has a playlist of podcasts. And you have there. So you have the truth happening. Nothing against the Sound Iron. I mean the people who they are interviewing, no? And as you know, this is the problem with interviewing. The interviewer also agrees too much. This is also another problem today, no? So the man, you open an interview of the 18th and 17th, you see the interviewer really pushing the interviewee, like pushing the buttons, no? And today it's so annoying. It is intellectually annoying when you go just in one way. So it's like a music that never modulates, okay? It's always major. In some topics, you want this, you just want to conspire, because why are you going to make polemic with people? I understand this. But the problem is when we talk about the big questions. So AI generative music, what is beautiful music? The relationship between marketing and creativity. Is Hans Zimmer a genius? Is sample music, MIDI music, really virtual music? This is the problem. People are actually speaking about this the whole time, because of course these are the interesting questions. But they want the appearance, they want the credits for handling big questions, but not the accountability to make what it takes to handle those questions. Do you see the problem? And this explains very well why many academics and many true intellectuals have a lot of reasons to look down on YouTubers and internet cultures. They have to look down, and they should look down, and they are correct to look down when it comes to this point of view. but only when it comes to this point of view. So now you understand how a false discussion is created, because when you don't have the true opposites, you won't have a true formulation of a problem that actually exists. You are not speaking about a real substance. You are speaking about a representation of your imagination. You are creating a ghost. So this happens a lot. So you don't have a valid discussion happen. And if you don't have a valid discussion happen, how are you entitled to enjoy all the credentials of being a communicator of knowledge? Because there is no pure entertainment in music when you are teaching music. It is not pure entertainment. You can just do the entertainment juice. You have to speak truth at some point. Even when you don't speak about the ultimate truth of the questions that you handle, even when you are in a superficial level, you are still indirectly communicating what you think it is the truth when it comes to the ultimate questions of music, the questions that were already asked and discussed and handled in the origins of music. And the origin of music is the essence of music. Another consequence beyond the problem of the false discussion is that when you don't have a sense of community trying to understand better a topic, you will have a case where only flattering is left. So you have only flattery. So the only objective of the comment sections is the promotion of the channel as a business. Now here you see the conflict between the YouTube channels seen as channels. So what is a channel? It is a medium where something passes by. So between this and only business. So the business here understood as something that it is just selling something that is already ready. This is the problem. So here I cannot deny that I am a business, but I don't identify only as a business. So to be business is a medium for something else. It's not the main substance. Now, the problem is when you are selling a product that is ready. When the product is knowledge and the knowledge is ready, then it stops its truth-seeking attribute. And this is the conflict that we have here. You can see a music channel as a medium to show the truth, the moments of truth seeking and communication of truth in, let's say, in dialectic slots, let's say like this. So in moments that are imperfect, but they are shared with the community in the sense of giving the opportunity to search together for the best result. So here, for example, how we compose better music, how we do this easier in a more effective way, how do we learn better, how do we learn more, etc. So there's a difference between this and closing the frame, selling a ready slot of information that can't be changed and can't be challenged anymore. It can just be praised. And here you have the situation with the pinned comment flattering, and then the intellectual criticism being pushed down. So there is no bigger sign and confirmation of my thesis that the intellectual class is the true discriminated class in our society than this comment management of the algorithm on YouTube. This reflects not only a choice of the YouTube, but the framework in which society operates also, in also academia. Because if you think that academic is made by intellectuals operating in intellectual mode, you are very wrong. Most of them, they are also operating from the point of view of just social status, mode, and other interests. Because we told everyone that to be someone in life, you have to go to academia. And now the academia is full of people who have nothing to do with studying a book from start to end. Okay? Just to quote an example, I met teachers who didn't even know that Schoenberg, that there is a book published by his assistant Leonard Stein with his counterpoint teachings, for example. It's a very important thing. Because this is like 50% to understand Schoenberg, to see how he taught counterpoint and used the Fuchs method. So then you have a situation with only flattering, you have a false discussion, and I guess this gives you a good overview of why many people will look down at the YouTube as a medium. Now, this also explains the whole problem of the lack of accountability. So the conclusion is that this environment where the discussion is false, the accountability is no existent, will stop to be just an informal place where things happen like a happy hour hobby, and they start to define our whole intellectual framework about musical activity just because of the quantitative and qualitative power of this. The qualitative power is how influential these things are. So then this starts to be a problem. If this were quantitatively and qualitatively smaller, then why should I even talk about this? you can just care for your what you're doing. Now it is a problem. This creates a whole cultural framework of music. This has impact in how musicians are thinking about music and about learning music. Here's the thing. So you have a situation where this point I want to talk in another video. So this will open another big topic. So how the hypocrisy of this double personality, the influencer that wants the credentials of one thing, of they want the credentials of the elite, but they criticize the elite when it is not opportune for what they are doing in this performative influencer lifestyle. It's a very interesting tension between the YouTube universe and the old intellectual modus. Okay, very interesting tension, and I find myself inside this tension as well. So this is why I think about it a lot. So we're gonna keep talking. See you later. Thanks for listening, and please remember to leave a like to promote and help the channel. Leave your question or your objection. As long as you don't question which is my telephone number, as long as your criticism is not about how ridiculous my Jethro Tull Gillette is, or okay. So let me give an exercise. Try to ask one rational, valid question about the topic I talked about, and try to bring one valid, rational objection about what I said. So let's enjoy this exercise. So see you later. Ciao, ciao.